Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So this Madison Cawthorn, I guess his name is, Republican congressman from North Carolina's 11th district, in the news and doing what I expect more Republicans. And to be honest, I was surprised so far just him and I think it was Corker, or I think it was him, the guy from, no, not Corker, the guy from Alabama, or was it Mississippi? I got Mississippi, who now taking credit for the rescue plan that they voted against. Cawthorn sent out a tweet saying he's happy that North Carolina's 11th was awarded grants from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And he goes through the places that got millions of dollars. And you know, he said, you know, proud to see taxpayer dollars returned. And you go, well, what did you do to make that happen? Oh, that's right. You did nothing. Just like they're going to do on this infrastructure plan. And here to share some thoughts on today's infrastructure plan and the big speech by President Biden, I've asked our good friend Jeff Hauser to come talk with us. Jeff is the director of the Revolving Door Project there at the Center for Economic and Policy Research. Jeff, thanks for taking time for us.
Anytime, Rick.
So let's start with Cawthorn first. Surprised by this?
I mean, spending money on things that help society is popular. And so you may not want to vote against it, but you'd like to associate your name with it. And I think you're seeing that from a lot of Republicans. There's a reason why bills like the rescue plan and like today's Build Back Better plan typically pass with bipartisan support, because there's really not much of a constituency against the government doing basic things that we need to be a well-functioning society. It's deeply unpopular. If you live in a world where you don't think you're going to get fact-checked in a way that, you know, gets heard by your voters, go for it if you're a dishonest person like Cawthorn.
But, you know, I'm expecting more of that, especially as the money comes rolling out. And really, and the reason I pointed this out is because if Democrats are able to get this through like they did with the rescue plan on a 50-50 vote, and without any Republican support whatsoever, you know Republicans are going to be in their district going, hey, look at this road I fixed. Look at this bridge I fixed. You know, look at this that I've done, without having any support. And I think we've got to be proactive in making sure that people know that they don't support this stuff.
Yeah. So the trap that Biden seems to have learned from, that President Obama fell into, was to allow Republicans to determine if you were a success by suggesting that success was bipartisanship. Mitch McConnell knew that cohesion among Republicans could deny the imprimatur of bipartisanship to President Obama. And so far, Biden talks about how much he values bipartisanship, but what's been encouraging is that he generally acts like what he means by bipartisanship is things that will help both Republican voters and Democratic voters, that he cares about being a president for all people, but not for all politicians. And I think that that distinction between Republican voters, Republican voter interests, and Republican politicians is an important one. And if Biden keeps that as his North Star, I think it will create greater pressure on Republicans over the long haul.
Now they're talking about, you know, $2.3 trillion. You think that's enough?
I mean, I think it's not enough. I mean, there are a lot of needs in this country, and we're talking about a long time. We're talking about 10 years here. We're talking about a big country with a lot of unmet needs. We have a climate crisis, but we have problems that even we would need at least that much, even if we didn't have a climate crisis. And there's almost no amount of money that could be spent on a climate crisis that would be wasteful, given the severity of the impacts that are already being felt and will be felt increasingly in coming years. So no, it's not enough, but it's definitely significant. It's ambitious. And I think the legislative structure that they find themselves in, so long as the filibuster is maintained, this need to do it in a reconciliation package, to get started now, to make it move before we get into the next fiscal year in October, there are some real genuine challenges that the Biden administration is facing. And so I think it's a good effort, even if it's not a perfect one.
Yeah, I've said that, you know, it's basically taking that American Society of Civil Engineers report card and saying we're going to turn that C minus into a B. That's my view. I think we're going to try and get up to a B from the C minus that we're at. We're not going for the A. We're just trying to get to the B.
Yeah, but I mean, they're even under the vision of where the Senate does not get rid of the filibuster. They'll have at least one more reconciliation bite at the apple to add things in. I guess there's some talk that this might, you know, replace a surface transportation bill, but I don't know that we know that for sure. There are other vehicles, pun I guess partially intended, to get some of the spending that we need, both to make America a, you know, functioning transportation system and the like. One of the encouraging things is they're going to try to get rid of lead from drinking water pipes, which, I mean, talk about like basic low-hanging policy fruit. But just because it sounds extremely boring doesn't make it anything other than super important. Preventing kids from being, you know, growing up, you know, drinking poisonous water. I mean, there's a few more important things. So there's a lot of really good stuff here. That doesn't mean they're hitting everything. There's probably some sticker shock, and the pricing things out over 10 years makes everything sound really big. And that might have been a little daunting. But, you know, if something like this, you know, even 80% of this gets all the way through, I think that's a better legislative year than most of us expected Biden would have.
By far. Absolutely by far. How much of this do you think is because, you know, if I'm the negotiator, I'm going with Markey's bill at $10 trillion. I'm going to throw that on the table. And the Republicans are going to come back with zero because that's what they are. And then the negotiation happens. But this isn't a negotiation with the Republicans. This is a negotiation, I think, with the Democrats, which is why I think Biden has kind of picked this spot as where people are telling him this might get through the Democratic side. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I thought it was really interesting that the American Rescue Plan started out at $1.9 trillion and ended up at $1.9 trillion. And so I do think Biden and his team are taking the temperature of Senator Manchin, Senator Sinema, and other key swing votes. And I think they do have a plan for passage that where the opening offer is relatively close to what the final offer is. I mean, I do think you're going to see more wheeling and dealing in this one than in the American Rescue Plan, because while these needs are urgent, there's like a, you know, they're not quite as short a term timetable as maintaining unemployment benefits at enhanced levels, you know, which was, you know, set to go away just a few days after Biden signed the rescue plan in March. So I think there's going to be a little bit more change, but I think what Biden is doing is always appearing reasonable and centrist. And so I think the fact that progressives are going to be pointing out that there's very good basis to go bigger and bolder than he is going, I think Biden's team is smart enough to understand that that is helpful to them. And Biden wants to appear as he has always long done in his career, which is be at the center of the Democratic Party. Not be on the progressive edge, not be on the conservative edge, to be at the center of the party. And so I think the role of progressives is to keep shifting that conversation to the left. But Biden sees his role as occupying the center that results after progressives have moved into the left. And honestly, this is a conversation way to the left of what was going on in 2009 in the Democratic Party. So, I mean, I think there's a lot for progressives to be happy at in that regard, which does not mean that the critiques from an AOC or a Markey are off the mark. They're right on point.
No, they're on point. But look, the fact that he came out with a plan as big as it is shows me that he understands the moment. And look, I was afraid, I think as a lot of people were during the campaign, that he would come in kind of like Obama did and try to constantly work across the aisle. Do you agree with me that you don't think a Republican's going to vote for this? Because, you know, transportation used to be that place. It was kind of like the trough where everyone went, all the little piggies got their snouts in, and they all brought something home. It was like bringing home the bacon. That's kind of gone away. And there's part of me that goes, is this that moment where Republicans go, we're going to lose anyway. How do we get something to bring back?
Yeah, I think the easy answer is to always bet on zero. Right. And that might still be the single most likely answer. I do think the chances of a small coterie of Republicans coming out in support of parts. You know, there are different mechanisms by which this could end up being voted on or amendments within it. The legislative process will be complicated here. I mean, I do think there's a conversation among Republicans about whether or not they messed up on the American Rescue Plan and what their strategy should have been. And by being outside of it and having essentially no meaningful critique, I mean, they were focused on Dr. Seuss and the Potato Head family at the time. They basically let it go through unscathed. It's very, very popular. And, you know, each month that goes by, they get closer to the 2022 midterms, which some of their members care about. A lot of the key people in swing Senate states are not up for re-election, in part because people are retiring right and left. But yeah, like, will some House member want to become known as the reasonable Republican who is willing to vote for popular things? Somebody who got by, you know, barely in the 2020 election cycle? I don't think it's likely, but I definitely think it's possible. I think you could, if you see a special election result between now and the ultimate vote, that starts to create some fear among Republicans if Biden stays popular. I think it's possible. But I think Biden is right to not build a plan around that possibility.
I think you get some of the New York and New Jersey Republicans, perhaps, in the House. I don't see it in the Senate. And where my thought is the Senate is going to be, McConnell's going to have them all in line. And that, you know, to me is a problem.
Yes. I mean, one of the things that I think escaped a lot of attention in 2020 is that, the main Senate race is both an extremely disappointing Senate race and one that I think bears further attention. On the one hand, progressives did an unbelievable job of getting a Democrat well-funded. This started with efforts during the Kavanaugh fight. They built up a bank account of, we will give, you know, money that would go to whoever won the nomination. It eventually went over, and defeating Susan Collins rightly became a national cause. And Collins got outfunded, but the main thing that she had going for her that kept that funding from being a tidal wave was she got a huge amount of private equity funding from Blackstone and Stephen Schwarzman and the like. And I think Susan Collins on economic issues has moved even further to the right than where she was before, which was always more conservative than she was on some social issues. So I think that the Republican Senate caucus on economic issues is extremely unified behind McConnell's vision, which is ironic because that is not the populist vein of Republicanism that Trump kind of laid out for them, that Stephen Bannon laid out, which would be more dangerous ultimately. And I think we might end up as a result see the 2022 midterms going better for Democrats, just like the 2018 midterms did, because they don't have anybody who like Trump understands how to put forth a populist message.
We'll see, and I hope you're right. But, you know, to me, this is a defining moment in the 2022 campaign. If this doesn't get through and we don't have this investment, we don't get the PRO Act pushed through, this is going to, because I see a lot of this reaching out to those moderate Trump supporters who were the union members, who live in, you know, rural America, who have been, you know, basically just thrown to the side of the road like trash as deindustrialization and outsourcing has happened. This is, to me, an attempt to try and bring them back into some bit of sanity into the fold. But if it doesn't go through, and I think Republicans understand this, if this doesn't go through, I don't think you get them back.
Yeah, the Democrats are going to have to do a lot to get those voters back. They've done a lot to lose them. It's a complicated story, and not everything is the fault of Democrats, but enough is, and Democrats should be take responsibility for the things that they can control.
Absolutely.
Which is to provide a credible economic story for working class people. That doesn't mean if they do everything right, they're not going to get 100% of the vote.
No, but
we understand that. But the goal is that is not the realistic goal. The goal is to bring back some people who were willing to vote for the Democratic Party until pretty recently. And I think that the best path forward is to also just do the right thing. When the right thing is really popular, like, there's very little excuse for not fighting aggressively for it. And this is a bill that will be on its face extremely popular.
And this is where I'm going with this, because people vote on how they're doing. You know, the Reagan question, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And this is that kind of a thing. Are people going to be better off in a year, in 3 years, when they have to go back to the polls? Are things going to get better? Are they going to have jobs? Are they going to see activity going in the right direction? All the polling says people are feeling confident. The economy's on the right track. Biden's got things going in the right direction. Policy rise, we're all heading down the same path. I think when people start to do better, a lot of the craziness gets tapped down, and we start moving towards some bit of sanity.
Yeah, and there has to be a story told by Democrats as to why what they did is also responsible for the change. Because obviously there'll be a large amount of money saying this was inevitable, that once the COVID-19 went away, things are going to get better. And the more you've done to take control of the story about the economy, the better. And honestly, I think the more you make Mitch McConnell the face of the Republican Party, the better. I hate Donald Trump. I hate him like I've hated few, if any, other people on the planet. But as a political opponent, as a target, as someone to rally around, I think the Democratic Party would do better to make Mitch McConnell the face of the Republican Party than Donald Trump. I think McConnell, he's never been a popular politician in Kentucky. Now the state is Republican enough that he typically wins, does win re-election every time so far. But he is not even well-liked there, let alone anywhere else. His manner is as imperious, arrogant, like a weird blend of bland and arrogant, which like very few people can carry that off, but Mitch McConnell can. And he literally exists to make rich people happy. And I think if we make him the face of the Republican Party, that will help the effort of making Democrats have a good midterm election. So pass this bill, make Mitch McConnell the face of the opposition, and steamroll him. And if that over time requires something like the PRO Act, getting rid of the filibuster, having Mitch McConnell whining, being the face of the Republican Party, that is not a winning midterm election message for them.
You're absolutely right. Jeff, I appreciate the time and the thoughts. Good stuff, as always.
Thanks for having me.
Our good friend Jeff Hauser, Executive Director of the Revolving Door Project there at the Center for Economic and Policy Research. Check out their website, therevolvingdoorproject.org. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.